The healthcare detective Frank Lally has written a book for Simon & Schuster about how to get affordable healthcare. Called Your Best Healthcare Now, it is available online, in-store, wherever fine books are sold. Mr. Lally is also the health correspondent for Parade and the former editor of Money and George magazines. And he has a different topic today. And hi, Frank. What's your different topic today?
Hi, how are you?
I'm respiring. How are you?
Yeah, it's a little steamy today. We've got the air conditioning on already. Remember a couple of weeks ago, I said I was going to attend a conference down in New York City. It was free of charge, invited all our listeners to join us. It was put on by the Alzheimer's Foundation, and it was a very good couple of days. And I said I'd come back with what I thought was the news of this disease, which is so prevalent. And the highlight of the convention for me was meeting the Germain family. They're a family from Long Island who actually got up on the stage, the husband, the wife, and the mother. And they talked about how they are taking care of her as she is now slipping deeper into Alzheimer's. So I thought it was, first of all, it took a lot of courage, I thought, for a family to stand up there and then address the audience. But they feel they're learning things about being caregivers. They love Linda very much. And they want to share what they're learning about how to interact with her and help her and keep her in a good mood and a happy mood and communicating as much as possible. They wanted to share that with the audience. And I thought, you know, it's something that I then would want to share with all of us. So I interviewed them separately. Both David and Linda, and not Linda, the wife, but Emmy, the daughter. And I've come away with, some very good pointers on things how to deal with Alzheimer's. Now, first of all, Linda would be one of those people you'd never expect to get Alzheimer's. This happens all the time. How could she possibly have any form of dementia? She was a Liz Claiborne fashion executive. Not too many years ago, she was running a number of businesses for Liz Claiborne with $1 billion in revenue. But then about 5 years ago, at about age 62, her memory began to slip. And it was little things at first. You know, she couldn't remember where she put the brush, that kind of stuff. She was a wonderful cook, but she couldn't remember a recipe she'd made so many times. Little things like that. So it went on for a couple of years before people were able to really figure out that she was slipping into dementia, and that's sort of the umbrella description when the mind starts to fail into what then finally became diagnosed with Alzheimer's. But that was not until 2 years ago. They had gone to see the family doctor, and the doctor sent them on to a neurologist. The first neurologist didn't think there was anything really wrong. But a couple of months later, it became even more obvious. One of the things that happened in this period of sort of denial on both sides, the family doesn't want to think that their loved one is slipping. And certainly that person who's having trouble remembering doesn't want to think it's anything more serious than just a little bit of aging or I didn't get enough sleep last night. She tried to start a fire in the fireplace and didn't open the fireplace properly, and the house filled with smoke. I mean, dangerous things can happen in this period. And finally, the family realized, and this is what Emma, the daughter, said to me. She's now 25-year-old Tulane graduate. And she said to me, you know, we finally realized that my mother's mind was leaving her body, which I thought was a very memorable way to say it. And so now they're devoted caregivers, and they want to share what they've learned. So, Jill, I looked up the statistics on this. Do you have a grasp of how many people in this country have dementia?
Do I have a grasp? I don't have an official grasp, but it is a vast, just from being a human being and knowing other people, I would be inclined to say it's a significantly higher percentage than your average man on the street if you lined up 10 people would say.
I think so. So the numbers surprise me. It's about 50 million people with dementia. That's the umbrella description. Yeah. Okay. So it's 50 million people out of 330. There are about 10 million new cases each year. I mean, that's a big number.
That was an epidemic.
About 70% of the people then become diagnosed with Alzheimer's itself, which is a specific disease within dementia. It's more women than men, and it comes as you age. So if you're over 71, 16% of women over 71 have some form of dementia, and more than 10% of men. So it's more prevalent among women, but those numbers are awfully high. So I know in our listening audience, there are many people today who are dealing with being a caregiver for a loved one and looking for all the help they can get. It's a progressive disease. It doesn't get better. There isn't a clinical trial that I know of that's actually even hopeful. There are no medicines out there that actually do any good. Forget the stuff that you see on TV about memory gains and all that
jellyfish.
Stuff. All that stuff is largely baloney. So it's a cruel disease in that way. And it's progressive. So you move, and this is the way I think we should talk about it. It moves in stages. So it moves from denial to a kind of profound sadness for the whole family, and certainly including the Alzheimer patient. Then there's this moment where the family says, all right, we need to share this. That's always we need to share this with the outside world. It's always a very tricky situation because in many cases someone is working and they don't want to hurt their position at work or even among the volunteering that they're doing with other people or just their interactions with their neighbors. But sharing is very important. It's followed then by a kind of anger. Why us? Why us? And you can feel a lot of pity for yourself and for the victim too, but more for yourself, I'm afraid, at the beginning. And then, of course, it is followed by an acceptance. And then there's another stage which we'll talk about, which is where the caregivers realize that they need caregivers, where in the best situation, and Germans described as beautifully, where they are supported by, in many cases, the friends of Linda at work. She boosted a lot of careers, and those people have come to rally around her and visit Linda and lift her spirits and lift David's spirits and lift Emma's as well. So there's caregivers needing caregiving. That's a very important stage. So, okay, let's deal with denial. As the beginning point, denial, and this needs to be understood. Denial is a two-way street. It isn't just the family denying that their loved one is slipping profoundly. And unfortunately, the patient themselves does not want to admit that there's anything wrong. So you can have a protracted period of time where people are saying, what's happening here? And the person who's slipping is absolutely denying it, covering up, making excuses. And this can get dangerous because it can lead, to people driving around and when they shouldn't be and taking other actions that would be normally fine that just aren't because they need help. And this has happened. So David described to me, he first experienced it with his father. And I think listeners will relate to this. He was driving along with his father, and all of a sudden his father couldn't give him decent directions. Turn left, turn right, turn down around. Oh, gee, you got to make a U-turn. It was just didn't make any sense. And David he lost his temper. And he said to his father, what's wrong with you? Why can't you tell me the right way to do it? You've driven this 100 times. And he realized his father just went silent and just was just bent over with pain. And at that moment, he realized that his father wasn't understanding as well as he should. and that what David had said had hurt his father. And he and David said he just came, he had a tremendous amount of guilt about that, and feels it too today. And Emma told, and it was a lesson for him that you never, 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 never lash out to the person who is frustrating you. They're being frustrated themselves. It isn't them, it's the disease. And raising your voice to them or being angry at them is absolutely the wrong thing to do. You've got to understand that's not them, that's the disease, and you've got to begin to accept it and treat them the way you'd want to be treated. Emma told a very similar story. This has to be similar to what other people listening have experienced. Her mother picked her up at Newark Airport, and the mother could not remember. Linda could, for the life of her, couldn't remember where she parked the car. So they're walking around the parking garage for 45 minutes. They couldn't find the car. And Emma's getting more and more frustrated. Then in the car driving, Linda went back on her word. She had said Emma could do something, and now she couldn't remember giving Emma permission to do it. And Emma's saying, I told you about that, and you said it would be okay, and now you're telling me you don't remember. And finally, Emma just blurted out, why are you playing dumb? And as soon as she said it, it was the same kind of experience that David had with his father. Linda just shut down, went absolutely quiet. And Emma said she was just overwhelmed with this feeling of guilt. And she said to me, to this day, I just wish and I just pray that my mother does not remember me saying that to her. So here you are in denial. And the worst thing you can do in denial is to succumb to the frustration and to act out. Now, we had that experience with Carol's mother, my wife's mother, who had a very progressive form of Alzheimer's. She slipped all the way back into really infancy, really, in the final stages. But we didn't realize it at the beginning because she lived in Florida, down in Sarasota. And we're up here. And we'd see her from time to time, but there were little things, and you could ignore them. She would be crossing out her return address on her envelopes and not using her Sarasota address and putting her old address in New Jersey. And then Carol would say, why are you doing that? Oh, well, oh, gee, because she would realize, her mother would realize, oh, gee, that's unusual. I shouldn't be doing that. And she would say, oh, gee, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that. Well, comes this Jill. Carol's mother's visiting us, and she disappeared. We have a guest room, and we went up in the guest room in the morning, and she was gone. She slept there that night, and she was gone in the morning. We went down to the doorman in our New York apartment, and the doorman said, "Oh yes, your mother left this morning, early this morning. I heard her tell the taxi cab driver, Newark Airport."
Oh, dear.
Oh, dear. So her mother had a credit card, and she also had her cat. She brought her cat with her in the little carrier, and she got into a cab and went to Newark Airport. It turns out she was trying to fly home back to Sarasota. This is what we gathered.
At least
she went, Leah.
No. I said at least someone heard her give the cab driver an instruction.
Yes, we had a clue.
Yes.
Okay. She went to the airport, and there was no flight to Sarasota, so she flew to Miami. And once she got to Miami, she checked into a hotel, and she stayed through lunch. I think she had a shower, and she then got back into a cab, got back to the airport, and flew back to New York, flew back to Newark Airport. Now, Carol and her brother and I were really scared and nervous, and we're calling the airport and Newark Airport, and we've alerted them to watch out for a woman who's coming, and she's got a cat carrier. And at 3 o'clock in the morning, they found Carol's mother in Newark Airport with the cat, And when the security guards went up to her and said, you know, hello, how are you? What are you doing? And Carol's mother said, well, I'm here and I'm waiting for my family. They're going to pick me up any minute. And, you know, that's more or less what happened.
Right. No, that's more or less what happened.
Okay. And we get her back into our apartment. It's about 5 o'clock in the morning now. And we're having tea. And it's as if nothing had happened.
Right.
Carol said to her mother, what did you do today? And Carol's mother said, in absolute fabulous denial, said, oh, I had a meeting down in Florida. You know, I belong to that organization, and I don't want to miss a lunch. I never want to miss a lunch. So I went down there and had lunch with my old pals and then came back. Of course, that was just a cover story. And I'll tell you this, that was the last day she had access to a credit card. That's virtually the last day she was alone for any period of time without anyone with her.
Right.
So that could never happen again. Now, that's people wander off. This is an extreme case.
And you. I have to say, you're right there in the top four with stories of wandering off. We are out of time, so this is clearly a to be continued because it's not only a prevalent topic, but you've only just scratched the surface. So
yes, I have.
Thank you, Frank.
So yes, we'll come back to this. We'll deal with denial, and we're gonna deal with the sadness that follows it. But I would say one last thing on denial. Yes, when you realize that the person needs help, get them to a doctor. They will not want to go. In many cases, they will say, "There's nothing wrong. You're exaggerating. You're belittling me." Get them to the family doctor. Even go in for a flu shot and then have the doctor evaluate them and get them to a specialist if they need it. But one way or another, get them to a doctor and get the treatment started as early as possible. Do not succumb to denial. This disease doesn't get better.
Thank you, Frank, the healthcare detective and the health correspondent for Parade. Send your questions or concerns about finding affordable healthcare to healthcaredetective@robinhoodradio.com. Frank will try to address as many of your questions as he can on future broadcasts. Also, look for his book, Your Best Healthcare Now, available online, in-store, and as ever, on my desk.